Excuse me, the recordings have started.
Thank you very much, operator. Glenn, could you be so kind to make a roll call?
Yes, certainly, Olga. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. On the call, we have Olga Cavelli, Chuck Gomes, and SS Kakira. And for staff, we have Julie Headland and Glenn de Saint-Géry, myself. We have apologies from Zaid Jamil. And Krista Papak also said that she might not be able to make the call today. And I think that's all the apologies that I have recorded, Olga.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
Thank you.
It's Julie, is there any news from staff in relation with policies or from the board? I just read an email from Robert this morning about a new request for a constituency, for a consumer constituency. I'm right with that. It's a request, or it's a constituency already approved? Which is the status of this email? Did you see it?
Olga, I have not seen the email.
Oh,
so
okay. It just came this morning very early.
I don't have it. Olga, that request for is not a new request for a constituency. I don't think it's been in the works for a while, but
okay.
It hasn't. No, none of those new ones have been approved yet.
Okay, that was my question. Okay.
Yeah, the update. Yeah, the update yesterday in the council meeting was from Rob. I think was that the staff has sent some suggestions for some modifications to some of the new constituency charters, and that's being worked now.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that from the call, but this email that just got me my doubt is if it was already approved or it's just a request. I think they made a presentation in Mexico and during the Chinaso Open meeting, this constituency, and I made some questions to them. Yeah, I think they were there. Okay, thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Julie. Would you be so kind to tell us which is the status of your sub-working team, where you are? I must confess that I had no time to review all the documents that you sent me, at least for me. I've been traveling. I had a lot of work. Would be easier to see one version that you could perhaps put all the comments that you already received. And I must confess, I couldn't realize which was of the seven documents that one. This is why I'm asking you.
I have not summarized it yet. It is none of the documents are final. They are all supporting documents, but I'll give the brief again. I circulated draft 1 on 4th of September, and their comments were from Chuck and Victoria were received. These both comments were incorporated almost 100%, and that came as a draft 2, which was circulated on September 10th. On draft 2, I got comments from Chuck and Krista. Now, Chuck's comments, they were mostly on Victoria's earlier feedback. So I requested Victoria to give, rejoinder to it, which she had given. Now, all these three documents, Krista's comments, Chuck's comments, and Victoria's this rejoinder, all three I circulated to the small team, which is Victoria, Claudio, and Rafiq, and requested them that, telling that after Friday meeting, I'll be making it final, receiving all the inputs from everybody. So far, I have not received any. Now, I'm planning to give another 3 days, and Monday, I'll summarize and accommodate as far as possible in my, final draft, I'll tell, or maybe draft 3 if you like, where all concerns from Chuck and Krista And also attach all these three documents for WP to look into it. So that is my plan. I mean, if you have any suggestions, I can incorporate that too.
No, thank you very much. As my it's my problem that I had really not enough time to go through all the documents, and I think it would work for the sub-working team. This summarizing document that you're talking about that you could prepare Monday, if I understood you well. And perhaps what we should do and what you should do among the sub-working team is when you send it, just put a due date for receiving comments. And I would also suggest, and I can also support with another email after you send yours, that perhaps if, for example, Claudio didn't comment, just encourage Claudio to review this summarized document and send his comments and so on. So you're sure that all your supporting team had the opportunity, the chance to
Right.
their opinion and their comments.
Agree to that, and within hours I'll send mail to all the three of them and requesting to speed up, and that I'll be summarizing on Monday. I think
Great.
That should be fine.
Thank you so much. So with you, we already have a plan. Regarding Victoria, she's not on the call, I think, right?
Yeah.
We had a teleconference.
Claudia has.
Hi, Olga. It's Claudia.
Hi, Claudio. How are you?
Good.
Before going on, let me summarize a little bit what we have been talking about. You are in SS sub-working team.
Mm-hmm.
SS will prepare a summary of all the documents and comments and information that he has received in our sub-working team, and he will summarize it in a new document on Monday. So if you could review it and send your comments. He will send it and also send some other information in our sub-work team. So, and he will also set up a due date for receiving this comment. So this is what we have been talking about this few minutes since we started the call.
Okay.
As you're in the sub-working team, we just wanted you to know.
Okay, great. Yeah, I haven't had an opportunity to comment, but I will. So I'll wait until I'll wait until Monday until this new document is circulated.
Great. Thank you so much. SS, do you have any idea?
It's Michael joining.
Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
Right?
Sorry about being late. I had a conflicting call I had to clear off first.
Yeah, and this is Victoria joining as well.
Victoria,
sorry.
How are you? Okay, just for those that just got in the call, we were talking with SS that he will prepare a summary document with all the comments that he has received in his sub-working team. By Monday, he will submit it to the list. So for those who haven't commented or saw it, among the sub-working team, they are encouraged to do so, and perhaps SS should set up a due date for receiving these comments, and he could prepare the last draft version perhaps by 1 week more or before the next conference call. Is that okay, SS?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. Victoria, we had a conference call a few days ago, I think on Monday. Could you tell us which is the status of your draft document and your sub-working team? I think that you wanted to set up a call for today. I'm so sorry. I will not be able to join because I must travel to the interior of Argentina. But tell us which is the status of your document.
Good morning.
Tony, good morning.
Hi. Sorry, I'm late. Traffic problem.
No problem.
Everyone was late, Tony. Don't worry. I was just going to explain where we're at. Don't worry about joining the call because we already had your comments, so it's not so important. I really just wanted to arrange an opportunity for other people to have a discussion who hadn't been on the call on Monday. And the people on the call on Monday were myself, Michael, and Olga, and Julie. So I haven't recirculated anything, although I just I gave a short summary on the list of the comments that we had discussed on Monday, and they were about the definition of minutes and also the openness of lists, which we decided to go back to the Board Governance Committee about, and I'm afraid I haven't got round to drafting anything on that. So I haven't actually checked the status of the doodle. I don't know who's free to participate in the call after this one.
What time would the call be?
It would be immediately following this call.
I have no problem.
Okay.
I could do that, Victoria. This is Claudia.
Okay, fine. So we'll just have a chat after that, just so that people have had an opportunity to discuss it. And I think it was actually really useful because we actually managed to get to the real nub of people's objections, which can just be easier than constantly emailing stuff. So that's what we'll be doing. And then I will try and – we're only focusing on the exact language of the recommendations, which was part two, which I'd circulated again, and we're going to try and focus on that. And that seems to be narrowing actual areas of contention, so it is helpful to do that. Then I'll try and basically summarize. I mean, if it's not contentious, obviously I'll just amend, but if it is, I'll put both, you know, both positions in and recirculate. So that's where we are pending the call today.
Great. Victoria, if you have the chance to have this call today with other members of the working team or who else wants to join, when do you think, and you have some feedback, which is... I would like to have a sense of when would you be able to have a document to summarizing all the comments received and sent to our working team.
Well, like I say, one of the things we may have to send off for a response from a third party, so that would obviously. But I mean, subject to that, I mean, I can try. I can't promise absolutely because it depends a) how much work's involved and b) on my other commitments. But I mean, I can try and aim for the end of Monday, my time.
Great. That's in the same line that what SS is planning. So great. So let's do that, and we wait for this information by Monday. And perhaps what I suggested to SS and may work for your sub-working team, if you could, once you have a draft document for the sub-working team to set up a due date for this small group to finally send comments, and then you can share with the working team in our list. Perhaps we could think about 1 week or 1 week and a half more and just have those pieces by the next conference call in 2 weeks. Do you think that's feasible?
Yep, that definitely seems feasible from my perspective. In fact, that timetable could be speeded up, I think. But
okay. Thanks so much, Victoria. Any questions to Victoria or to SS so far?
Yeah, I have just one question for Victoria. And I'm sorry I may have missed it. You did mention, I think, a few minutes ago that you had sent another submission this week, but I can't seem to find it.
No, it wasn't this week.
I'm sorry. I got it wrong then.
Yeah, I just recirculated the recommendations part of the document that, you know, the contentious final document. All I did was recirculate and paste out the recommendations. It was exactly the same wording. So if you've got the full document, I don't know what page it was on, but it's part two recommendations. So it's no different if you can locate that.
Yeah, it's okay. I've got that, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Toni Grista couldn't make the call. She sent her apologies, but she shared with her working team your document. As I already have commented, and my comments were included by Grista and by you, and so I think that you are quite okay with the document. It's you're just giving it to all the working team so we can make comments. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's
Am I
fine.
Right?
Sure. We're finished with that. Yeah, that's fine.
Tony, could you please, perhaps we could set up a due date for submitting comments to Grista and to you from the different working team members? What do you think?
Well, it's not a very long document, so
I know.
Probably, I don't know, maybe a week would be enough.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know what other people think, you know.
I would encourage Krista, or you could tell Krista if she can send a message, just establishing a due date for that,
okay.
So people know they have to comment, or a silence means that they like it.
Now, has the final recommendations from the sub group been distributed to all of us?
Yeah, I think that Krista sent it this week. If I'm not mistaken, it was copied to the whole working team list. Tony, can you say if I'm wrong or right?
You're right.
Well,
yeah.
just to make sure that we're all dealing with the same document, when she sends her request, it'd be good to attach it again. Then we
okay.
all, because it is like you said, Olga, earlier, it's getting
yes.
hard to keep track of. Make sure we have the
exactly.
latest and. And
I
so
think
it's
a great idea, Chuck.
Yeah.
Tony.
Yeah, we'll do that, Chuck.
Thanks, Tony.
To put, yeah, it's a great idea. It's a very good document, and by the way, it's not long. It's very easy to read. So
yeah.
it won't be difficult to be revised by the rest of our working team.
Yeah, you can read in 3 minutes.
And any questions for Tony? Comments? Great. Julie already sent her document. I revised it. I'm okay with it. She already sent it to the whole working team. Any questions, any comments to Julie? Should we establish a due date for receiving comments?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, since I sent it previously, I think probably even a more than a week ago, and then sent it again at the beginning of this
yes.
week and asked for comments. I haven't received comments, so, I mean, unless you have objections, I and Chuck,
we can think it's okay.
I mean, perhaps we can go, I can circulate what is the final version.
Great. Any objections against doing this with the Julie's document?
No, and we should make sure then that there is consensus amongst the full working team to send this forward. I think it, as I mentioned in an email, I don't think there's any, this is probably true of all of our different tasks, but this one in particular, if we were able to go ahead and send it forward so that the OSC and the council can consider it, the sooner we do that, the sooner that staff could start implementing, coming up with an implementation plan, and the sooner the tools would become available for the use of stakeholders and constituencies, stakeholder groups and constituencies. And from what I'm seeing, that would be really useful if the stakeholder groups and constituencies had access to some of these services if there is enough in the budget to go ahead and implement them quickly.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Chuck. There's someone wanted to talk. Sorry.
Yeah, I was agreeing as well, and I would suggest that I send the final version without the red lines to the team and say what we discussed here, that you know, unless we hear otherwise from the team, I would say that we would be planning to forward this to the OSC.
Is everybody on the work team, or at least the people on this call, comfortable with that approach, or do they want an affirmative statement that they approve it?
No, this is Claudio. I'm comfortable with that approach, and you know, for the record, I do approve it. I think you guys did a great job on this, and I think it's ready to go.
Yeah, for me, it's okay, too.
Likewise.
It's fine with me, yes, sir.
So is there any reason to use more time? Are there
no.
some who still need to review it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I still need to review
oh.
it.
Okay, good. That's fine. I just wanted to clarify.
Right.
Okay.
Then I'll around the final okay. draft ask for any final comments, and then perhaps suggest maybe a short time frame for any final comments back. Victoria, I'll send that out this morning. And others, I mean, early next week, what would be a suggested time frame, do you think, for comments back?
It sounds fine to me.
All right.
Okay, well, Victoria, when could you send Julie or the working team your revision of the document? When do you think that's
feasible? Yeah, early next week, be fine.
All right. All set for Tuesday next week.
And we have specific approvals from quite a few members. We should give those who haven't been on calls and haven't approved it just a reminder that if they could give us their approval or comments by the same time, that would be great.
Right. I'll just send it to the team, and I'll reiterate what we've discussed here and say comments, please, by Tuesday next.
And it would be helpful, I think, Julie, if you identified the people who have already approved it.
Right, and I heard Claudio, Olga, was that Michael?
Michael and SS.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, yes. All right, thank you very much. Will do.
And Chuck.
And Chuck, of course.
And Julie.
And me.
Okay.
Right.
And Tony is on the call. Tony, did you have the chance to review Julie's document?
No, not yet, but I'll do that now.
Okay.
Great. So it's also easy to review, Tony, just like yours.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. So we have a plan for our four sub-documents of our draft task one. So we could exchange some ideas of how to summarize a whole document. And also we have task two to review, which is the outreach issue. I already had Julie's document had a format that I liked, and in a previous call I already said that I like that format with some background and then all the document and all the information, how it was organized. Any ideas of if we can use that format for the final document, if we can start to, once the sub-documents are going to be approved, then we can start putting them together. I could do that perhaps with Julie. I could start building a final task one draft document. What? Any ideas, any comments, any suggestions?
Yeah, I have some suggestions. I think we've touched on this before, so I think I'm repeating myself because I think I made myself pretty clear then. But, I would have thought, like, just, you know, even just from a saving time and very expedient way to prepare work product, that it would be best to use the body of each subtask's report and put a front and a back on them. You know what I mean? Leave them as the body instead of rewriting from scratch. Or you could attach them as schedules or something like that. I mean, I just think that would save an enormous amount of work. And, I mean, I obviously say it from my perspective because I put a lot of time and effort into my report. And I don't want that to be, you know, to be wasted. And I don't see why I don't want to put Olga, you, to the trouble of rewriting something from scratch. So that was my suggestion.
I'm sorry, I didn't totally follow you.
Okay, I'm just sorry about that. I went around in circles.
No. Maybe it's sometimes my English is in the morning is not so accurate. What you're suggesting is that we take the body of the four documents,
and we either put them on the end of the document as schedules and refer to them, right? So schedule 1, 2, 3, and 4, right?
Okay.
Where there is the meat of the discussion, okay, and then in the front is a summary, you know, with Julie's opening perhaps, and a discussion perhaps about levels of consensus or whatever, or final recommendations, and a summary, and then schedule the four reports, or something similar to that.
Question, Victoria, does that assume that all of these reports would go forward at the same time?
Yeah.
And I just suggested that it would be good if we could send...
I didn't hear that. I didn't understand that.
If we could send the one regarding the toolkit of services, since it looks like it's just about ready, forward independent of the others.
Can't we send them all together at once?
They're not going to all be ready at once is the problem. And there would be real advantages if, I think, to constituencies and stakeholder groups, if the toolkit of services could become available as soon as possible. I know within the registry stakeholder group, we're already encountering situations where if we had some of those services, it would greatly help us. And so waiting until
okay, I think, hang on, but we've covered this before, Chuck, haven't we? We've like 15 times discussed bifurcating our work, and I think we all decided against it each time.
I don't see this as bifurcating our work. I see this as expediting one element of our work to the advantage of the stakeholder groups and the constituencies. What's bifurcating about that?
Well, I don't agree with that proposal. I think that, you know, it removes the need for expedition from the bulk of the work, and what we should really do is just speed up the rest of it and put it all forward at the same time.
Well,
you're
assuming that we can speed up all the rest of the work and get it done in a timely manner. I think we've already found that that's probably highly unlikely. As chair of the OSC, I would strongly discourage that, but I will defer to, I suggest, Olga, that we decide as a work team whether to go with my suggestion or not, and if the mm-hmm. work team disagrees, I will respect that.
Okay, if I may, I agree with Chuck. I think there's a lot of value in submitting the sub-work 1.4 document to the OSC and then forward. That's my opinion.
Is this on the agenda? Okay, is this on the agenda for today? Because, like I said, I wasn't prepared to deal with this. And like I said, I'd like to go back through. We have already determined this
more than once. Victoria, many days ago I sent an email requesting this. So this should not be a surprise.
Well, I'm sorry, because I didn't see that email, and with the best will in the world, I have overlooked it. But so this takes me by surprise, and like I say, I mean, I think we discussed very fully, perhaps in our last call or the call just immediately prior to that, the pros and cons of all of this and decided against it. So
no, we did not discuss
I'd at least
the
like
cons
to
of
myself.
Sorry,
be able to refresh
me,
my recollection by reference to the previous discussion.
Excuse me, please. If we don't order our conversation, it's hard for me to follow you. I think Chuck is making a suggestion. I respect your idea, Victoria. I agree with Chuck. So my suggestion would be, I think we have discussed this before, and Julie's document has been for revision for a while. And some of us had the chance to review it. Some of in the working team didn't. So my suggestion would be, check with who's on the line now, who is agreeing with Chuck and who doesn't, and move forward. Because
can I speak, Tony Harris?
Sure, Tony, go ahead.
Just three or four words. I agree with Chuck on this.
SS, shall I give some biomimicry?
Sure, SS, go ahead.
Yeah, see, though Chuck makes some valid reason, but I don't know what benefit is going to give to constituencies to just have some document a few weeks. I won't say that it should take more than 2 weeks for all the documents to be ready. So if at all this document goes, it should not go as a final, but it should go just a preliminary draft document. That's one. If this document goes, then all the subtask documents go independently to wherever, I mean, they are being sent.
That doesn't necessarily follow. We could group all the others together. So.
Olga, can I get in the queue?
Excuse me, people
can wait.
So your point, SS, is that it will be in pieces, and people will not have the chance to review the whole document. That's your point?
No. They will give you the whole document, but this document will stand alone, and it's not going to. I mean, maybe Chuck, as a chairperson of that OSC, he can look probably something above which I am not able to perceive. but this 2 weeks will not make so much difference. This
consultants
are not going to jump into that toolkit and start working things and all that.
I see your point. And
Olga, can I get an appointment in the queue?
Yes, I just want to make a comment. Is that we have been trying hard the previous weeks to finalize our sub-working documents and all that, and we couldn't. So I understand your point, and perhaps after Tony's comment, Chuck may give us his idea if 2 weeks it's too much time or not. Tony, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just want to comment on what SS just said, since there was a reference to the constituencies there, and what's the value in doing this. I think basically you might consider, this is just a suggestion, of course, that we, in the constituencies, we have quite a lot of documents to look at, not just the ones from this this working team. And if we can stagger that a little bit over time and not have to deal with 40 or 50 documents a few days before the Seoul meeting, it would help it make our life a little bit easier. I think that's one of the points that Chuck was making. Additionally, looking at Julie Hedlund's document, which I've been reading at full speed while we talk, where you have this ranking of the toolkits, if constituencies see this early on, they may come up with some item which we have missed and we have time to include it. That's just an afterthought.
Okay. Can I get in the queue, too?
Yeah, it's Michael. Can I get in the queue as well, please?
I think what Michael wanted to talk first. Am I mistaken? Or
I tried to get in a little earlier.
Yeah, I know. Michael, go ahead, please.
Listen, I think there's a lot of valid points here, and my own feeling basically on that part of the work is that the toolkit is a rather innocuous, less controversial set of recommendations anyways. However, I do think it's important that Victoria hasn't had a chance to look at it and make sure that she's comfortable with it, so I think we should just follow a fairly routine procedure here. I even though we've discussed it on the call, Olga, I think it's probably best if we formalize this and we put out the document for final comments in a prescribed time period. I don't know if that's 3 days or 4 days, but the right period. And then we also formally weigh in whether or not we're okay with releasing it after the final comments are. And I personally am at the point where I'm comfortable with the document, and I'm comfortable with the idea of forwarding it because it is part of our, if you break out all the subject matter we have to cover, some of it is going to be a little more controversial, a little bit more sensitive. But this is a toolkit, and this is a series of assistive devices. I don't see a lot of controversy in it, so I think putting it out earlier won't have any negative impact.
Olga, please add me to the queue.
Sure. Victoria, go ahead, please. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. I have a couple of suggestions picking up on SS's comments, and I'm just wondering if there's a middle ground here between all these houses. What I'm wondering is, I do myself object to the bifurcation, and like I said, we discussed it fully before, and for all those reasons. What I'm wondering is, if people are going to be in favour of putting some work forward now and leaving the rest to follow, then I think what would be perhaps acceptable might be that either other parts can go forward in draft and or agreed and or non-contentious parts of other work go forward too. So that's a suggestion.
Chuck, go ahead and then let's
summarize. Sure. First of all, I want to clarify something that Michael suggested. My suggestion in moving this forward ahead of the others, if the others aren't ready, was not in any ways meant to imply that we wouldn't do what we already decided today, and that was is that there would be some time, and I think it was suggested early next week, for all of the others to still comment on it. So, and I specifically suggested that they state their approval or disapproval and add comments at that time. So please, there was nothing ever suggesting that everybody on the team should not have additional opportunity to finalize their input and to state their approval or not. Secondly, to SS's comments, the advantages SS, a lot of these services, I find it in the registry stakeholder group already, that if we had some of these services available now, meeting scheduling services, web support, we're having some difficulty right now, for example, in our own self-management of our website, and we're experiencing quite a few delays. Now, staff, I'm sure, isn't going to be able to implement the toolkit of services immediately, but the sooner that happens, it will really help us as a stakeholder group a lot. And I suspect that's true of other stakeholder groups and constituencies as well. So the sooner some of these things happen, it will make us it'll make it easier for us as constituencies and stakeholder groups to deal with all of these issues that are confronting us. So there are some practical advantages to getting these services in place as soon as possible. Now, with regard to Victoria's compromise, I have no problem with any of our recommendations that are ready to go going forward early as well. And so if there are others, like, for example, what Tony and Krista have done that are ready to go, that's fine. I do have a problem with sending forward draft recommendations to the OSC and the council. We should not send anything forward until it's final, because those of us at the council level don't have time to be reviewing every draft of things or even multiple drafts of things. We need to have pretty firm recommendations that we're looking at, because there are just too many things on our plate to be able to manage our time effectively in that regard. So I would not support sending any drafts forward. They need to be documents that this work team supports and ready to go for review by the OSC and ultimately by the council.
Thank you, Chuck. Someone else want to comment?
Well,
it's Claudia?
Yeah, it's Claudia. I was just going to say I agree with what everything Chuck just said and getting this out as quickly as possible. I don't really, maybe I'm just missing it. I don't really see the downside of getting things out if we have consensus on them. I would think it would, unless it would confuse the recipient of our work, I don't see really any downside in holding back recommendations that we have.
Thank you, Claudio. Any other comments? I personally think that this document is a very good document, and there is value in moving it forward. It's more practical. It's not a document that would have any problematic part, and it is value in reviewing it before. As Tony said, it's less thing to read before the meeting. So that's my personal view, but of course we should decide it as a working team. So my proposal is the following. We will let those people who had not the chance to review it, maybe those of them are not on the call right now. And so Victoria, Julie, please, sorry.
Yeah.
Julie, do send it again with maybe a deadline for comments by Monday, Tuesday. And let's see then in our mailing list if we agree in moving this forward or not. And so we have the chance to see the opinions of all others who are not in the call right now but are part of our working team. Is that a reasonable proposal?
Yeah, can I just add something to that, Olga? Thank you.
Sure, please. Go ahead.
I just think the conversation kind of moved on just from that particular one development, that particular one document. And I think that There seems to be a rough agreement that any final recommendations that where there's consensus could go forward at the same time. And if bits and pieces, I mean, you know, all of our work is concerned with GNSO improvements, you know, just addressing Chuck's point that this is particularly valuable and useful to people. I mean, it's all supposed to be particularly valuable and useful, subject to consensus, obviously. So I would suggest that if this is going to be done, other recommendations from other sub-teams that on which there is consensus or no dissent can also be put forward, because it is a bifurcation, and you know, I think it's just fair if it's an open playing field, and if we're going to do it in two parts, you know, it can be two parts across the board.
So any suggestion on, is my suggestion feasible?
Yeah, but yours was limited to the one document. I'm just saying other stuff as well.
Yeah, but the issue is the timing. I mean, I personally, that's my personal view. I'm not talking from the working team perspective. I think there is value in moving this piece of document forward before, for all the reasons that have been explained.
Yes, but I think both Claudio and Chuck just indicated that they didn't have any problem with final recommendations on which there was consensus going forward at the same time.
Okay, let's the working team decide. I'm just in my opinion. So let's do the following, and please let me know if you agree. Julie, to send the document, let's establish some deadline for receiving comments, and let's exchange some ideas and have the sense from the whole working team if we agree in moving it forward or not. And perhaps by that time, maybe mid-time next week, we have the sense of how are the other documents evolving. And maybe we can see if we want to put all together or not. Do you think that's a reasonable approach?
Okay. Again, I just expand that language, not just the other documents. It's recommendations that are non-contentious and on which there's consensus.
The recommendations you write.
Let me clarify there. Victoria, are you talking about recommendations in each of the four subtasks, or, in other words, separating each report into those that are contentious and non-contentious, or are you just talking about as long as there's consensus on each of the subgroup recommendation, total package of recommendations?
I'm not talking about total packages. I'm saying that basically, I think it's very artificial to, you know, to sort of say, you know, to wanting to be dealing with whole packages or whole subtasks or what have you. So I'm basically saying whatever, if we get to mid, what I'm suggesting is that if we get to mid next week, each, you know, if we're going to put some material forward, we should put everything that's agreed to date forward. And just, you know, it'll only be very narrow language, obviously. So
okay with bifurcating those?
Well, if you're wanting to bifurcate, then I think it should be across the board.
Amazing.
Well, my position was right from the beginning, we either do or we don't, and I think it will drag the time frame of the rest of the work down. But if there is going to be bifurcation, it should be across the board, I think.
Sorry, what do you mean by across the board?
All the work of the group, of the entire group to date should be, you know, that's agreed should be able to go forward.
So, Victoria,
that was not what I recommended when I said I am supportive of other subtask group recommendations going forward if they're ready to go as well at the same time. I certainly am, but I did not mean what you're saying.
Yeah, well, Claudia, I didn't mean that either.
Okay, maybe you could expand the distinctions, Chuck, because I'm not sure I understand.
If there are other sets of our recommendations organized by subtask, in other words, let's just look at 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, and 1-4. If 1-3 is ready to go and there's consensus in the whole work team that the whole package is ready to go, then I have no problem with that being submitted in at the same time as 1-4, the toolkit of services.
Right. Okay. But I mean, per any of those subtasks, I mean, you know, when it comes to reaching consensus, some things may be the subject to consensus and others may not. Things that aren't the subject to consensus fall away, right?
But keep in mind, each of the subtasks are related to a specific VGC recommendation. And to respond to that recommendation with a partial answer doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Well, that's a very artificial distinction, given you're taking one artificially, you know, divided off subtask and putting that forward. So
we're obviously in total disagreement. So
yeah, can I weigh in here?
Sure, Michael, go ahead.
Thanks. You know, guys, I have to say I think that the structure was kind of defined for us in the way the recommendations were laid out. There is a kind of a natural structure to our work with that, and that's why we were led by instinct to form these subtask groups, because the questions were broken out. I do think that, therefore, it's natural to answer them on a per-question basis. I think it could be confusing if you gave a partial answer to one of those questions or recommendations.
I'm not talking about partial answers so much, Michael, but there'll either be consensus on things or they won't, right? So there'll be either a whole answer or they won't be. I mean,
right.
If what there isn't consensus on falls away, right?
Well, so, you know, what are we really debating here? I mean, is there any, if you know, 1-1's ready to go and everyone's happy with it, then are we okay with releasing that? I would suggest that we don't, you know, waste too much time on trying to examine, you know, a subtask document if it's only 50% complete. We might as well get it finished, agree on it or disagree, and hopefully eventually agree, because we debate and get it settled, and then let it go. You know, release it.
Okay. Well, look, obviously we do disagree, and I've yet to look at that document, so it doesn't have consensus even at this stage.
Yeah, fair enough. I think we've all agreed with that. Yeah.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Victoria. Any other comments? I have a comment. We always said that we should agree in any version that gets out of the working team. We never thought about not working with consensus from the working team. I'm not sure if this was a doubt in the conversation, but that's the way we have been working. We have like 5 minutes. I'm sorry that I cannot stay longer in the call because I have to take a plane.
Olga, this is SS. I'd like to...
Yes, please go ahead, SS.
Here, this actually my just observation is that, of course, I appreciate the way Czech puts arguments. They are very good for, taking things into his favor. But what I observe is that, you make some decision and bring arguments in its support. And here again, the consensus came that you send only those parts which are having consensus. If anybody differs, that should not be sent. So we are drifting away from our charter. Charter makes very clear what is to be done. I think maybe as a chairperson, you can just go through and what you are supposed to do in such situations. So if the constituency has worked for years without some support, if they work without support for a few more weeks, I don't think something is going to fall. So only thing, they won't derive some benefit which they will derive days earlier or a week earlier. So I believe it's not that I'm opposing anybody or supporting anybody, but just I think we should look into charter and just see whether is it at all given anywhere that we can send into piecemeal, and don't send something which is not having full consensus. Even those things are to be sent which is consensus not there. Everything, I mean, very clearly written down. We have done that.
Our charter is very clear in terms of the way we're supposed to do it, not in terms of whether we can send portions separately or the full thing at once. but it is very clear with regard to consensus. We are supposed to make best efforts to reach consensus using a rough consensus approach. But it does, full consensus does not mean unanimity on the part of a work team, okay? Consensus may be rough consensus in that there's strong majority of support on the working team, and if so, if there's not unanimity, a minority statement can accompany that. But please don't define full consensus as unanimity. That is not the case in the charter.
No, I'm not defining. I'm just saying that please see the charter first. And, I mean, let us respect some work which we have already done. Why to jump on something which is not better?
Okay, any other comments? Okay. We have not agreed. We have not rough consensus. So let's do the following. My suggestion is Julie will send the document. Let the members of the working team that didn't revise it have the chance to do that. And let's keep on the discussion in the mailing list. I agree with Jack about what is rough consensus and unanimity. So I won't repeat that. I think the rule that we should follow. But we don't have rough consensus in my modest opinion now. So let's keep on discussing this in our mailing list, and let's wait for the other draft versions from the subworking teams, SS and Victoria, and hopefully by half next week we can have an idea of how to move forward. That's my suggestion. I don't know if you have other.
Oh, this is Claudia. That sounded good to me. I was wondering if I'm just not understanding the concerns that that SS and Victoria have about sending this forward. Is it just that they think that our later recommendations won't be considered as...
I think what Olga says is okay. We'll follow up with the mails giving our concerns. And let we go that way. Something will come out of it.
Claudia, what's your point? I'm sorry, I didn't get
it. I just didn't understand. Maybe it was, they had expressed it on a previous call. I just didn't understand why they were concerned about sending our recommendations on that one area of work forward.
SS, Victoria, could you answer Claudia, please?
I mean,
See, it is not required at all to send somebody something in piecemeal. That dilutes the work of the whole team. That's what I'm telling. There is no pressing reason for that. Only thing, if we send that thing, some benefit comes to somebody. Now, that benefit was not accruing for years. So if that benefit does not go for a few more weeks, this constituencies are going to get staff support. That's what I understand, the major advantage of sending it early. Now, if you don't get staff support for a few more weeks, I mean, what would fall?
Well, I agree.
I
guess my response to that is that we don't know that it's just a few more weeks, and
it's up to us, though, isn't it? It's up to us.
We'll try to do 4 weeks. If 4 weeks all documents are not ready, this toolkit can be sent separately.
So we've lost 4 weeks then.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of how I look at it. I don't think I agree with this, with the idea that it dilutes the rest of our work.
Well, I mean, I have to say I feel extremely strongly that it does, and I think this is cherry-picking by, you know, this is a bit like saying, you know, we're quite interested in this kind of assistance, but we're not having any of the reform that this whole package was. This is the whole GNSO improvements. You know, we had hugely long discussions. Whole calls were devoted to bifurcation. We discussed it about 4 times, and we had absolute consensus on all of those calls. So, if we're really going to do this again, I suggest we do it in another meeting when we can revisit what we already said and we can go through it properly, because I feel very strongly that it not just dilutes the rest of the work, but really renders the likelihood of it being given its due time, attention. It removes all pressure for expediency from the rest of the group. It's cherry picking, and I think it's totally inappropriate.
Well,
okay. Any other comment? You can stay in the line if you want. I'm so sorry I have to leave.
Thanks, Olga.
My suggestion is what I said 5 minutes ago before Claudia was speaking. I think we didn't get consensus now, a rough consensus, so let's keep on discussing in the emailing list. And Victoria, I hope you can do your call now and move forward with your document and with your recommendations. And have a nice weekend, you all. And thank you for participating.
Thanks, Olga.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Victoria, is there dial-in information, or are you planning on staying on this call?
No, I think we should just stay on this call, should we?
This is Glenn.
Victoria, I'll leave.
Hi, sorry. This is Glenn.
Yes. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Victoria. Do you want to carry on the call just as it is? There's no problem.
Yes.
Do you want to carry on the recording as well?
Yes, why not? It's just easier, I think, isn't it?
There's no problem. Okay,
thanks.
Fine.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks.
Okay. Who have we got on this call now? Who's still on the call? Tony?
Can I go through the...
thanks, Glenn. Yeah.
We've got on the call, I see Chuck has disconnected. Is that correct, Chuck? Julie is still on the call. I see SS has disconnected. Is that right, SS?
Mm-hmm.
Claudia is still on the call. Victoria, you still on the call. And Tony Harris is still on the call. And I see Michael has disconnected.
Yep.
And Olga, of course. So there we are.
Okay,
so
great.
So you have on the call Tony Harris, yourself, and Claudia, and
okay.
Julie and myself.
Okay, great. I've got Tony. Tony, I've got your recommendations here. You put some comments into the language very early on. I think, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it in more detail then, but Claudio, I haven't had any detailed comments to you on the recommendation language, I don't think, have I?
I'm trying to think. I think I might, you know, if some of this was pulled from that larger document, there might have been areas where I commented within that document that sort of carry over to some of these recommendations.
No, I don't think so, because I went through all of, I may be wrong, but I went through and printed out everybody's particular comments on that section. I've got them right here in front of me, so, and I haven't got one from you, so I'm thinking that you didn't actually redline into that section. I may be wrong, and I may have overlooked it. But in any event, perhaps we can just work through, let's just quickly work through this language and or the general headings and, you know, identify issues.
Okay.
Okay, so now, as I already said on the list and mentioned in the call, people have raised, you know, on the call we had on Monday, Michael and Olga had issues with completely open discussion and post discussion and mailing lists, which was not one of our own recommendations. It was one of the Board Governance Committee's minimums. It's in the guidelines at the back of the fuller document. But they recommended all discussion and mailing lists be open, but with posting rights limited to members. So. That's one thing. We determined that we should take that one back to the Board Governance Commission, committee, and ask for clarification, given it's contentious. And the other issue was minutes. And as I said on the list, we managed to. Well, I'd like to take your comments, but certainly Michael and Olga were happy, but they thought we should clarify what's a minimum in relation to minutes, and that was action points. Decisions and resolutions, and as I think I said in the commentary about minutes, you know, there's no reason not to respect Chatham House rules or people's desire to discuss things in committee. It's the decisions that are, so we're happy to clarify that language, and I'll be amending the language, or the definition of minutes. I don't know if either of you want to comment to those two issues.
I think just pulling up your recommendations here. I think on the minutes, that makes sense to me, just kind of boiling it down to the the key elements there, any major action points, things like that. So that makes sense to me. On the mailing list, I don't have the Board Governance Committee report in front of me. My understanding of it was that they were referring basically to a central mailing list that would be open, that each constituency would have.
Well, it doesn't say that, but and interestingly, I don't know if you saw. Well, I think you probably saw my comments to. I mean, it's an interesting point, but I'll read you the exact language. But I don't know if you also saw. I forwarded some comments to Chuck's comments to SS's document about participation, including the Council of Europe sort of independently commissioned report on all the internet governance organisations. And it's interesting because most of them have fully open. They do have fully open. I'm just looking for that language. They have fully open mailing lists, and so it's actually a real feature of the sector. Anyway, that's the sort of thing we can clarify with the board governance. It's one of the reasons we thought we should go back to them. I mean, it's their own recommendation, and it's obviously contentious. I can't put my hand on the language right at this moment.
My concern with that, Victoria, is just that a lot of the constituency work or stakeholder group work. By its nature, is not necessarily the type of work that if there's discussions going on policy issues, that I think the groups are gonna they're kind of I don't know if confidential is the right word, but it's sort of specific to the interests of that particular group, and there's value in being able to have discussions within the group. That aren't available for everyone in the world to basically see. And then,
Michael said the same thing, and he made a really good point. He said, you know, if you make it all open, he said basically people there'll be no discussion on the list. You know what I mean? And he talked about examples of that where he said you'll basically drive it all to sort of you know behind closed doors in person meetings, and that's the downside of it.
That's entirely true. That's what's constituencies exist for that purpose, to be able to discuss things amongst themselves.
So one of the things that I'd suggested at the time, I said, would it make a difference if committees, you know, for example, policy committees or committees were accepted, you know, so, you know, would there be some carve-out? But they didn't think that was appropriate. They just thought, you know, I mean, by limiting it to decision or action point or resolution, we're talking about the open list, aren't we? I'm confusing the issue. I was talking about, for example, the IPC list. I mean, there's almost no discussion of anything on it. Now, I don't know if I don't know what the situation is in the business. Is it business constituency, Tony?
No, the ISP.
We actually
have quite a lot of email discussion and also calls.
Right. So it is an issue. I don't know, Claudia, what happens with the IPC? I mean, are there sub lists that are related to committees at present? I mean, there's no discussion on the general list, which itself is troubling because is there already a perception that it has already discussion been, in a sense, driven underground?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the general list is, you know, it's open. Anyone could post on it at any time. I mean, there are, you know, smaller lists when there's, you know, working groups and stuff formed on issues. I think the IPC has been planning on having an open list. In the way the Board Governance Committee envisioned it. I think it was a good approach that if you guys thought of reaching out to the Board Governance Committee and getting their input, I mean, I think that made sense. So.
Okay, great. All right. Okay. Now, well, let's just go quickly through these categories and headings. I mean, I have to say I'm not that up. It's been, you know, been a few weeks since I've looked at the stuff myself. So, executive committees. So obviously we have the minutes issue. Rules and procedures. Is any of this contentious? I can see, Tony, you've made a point here about the two terms. You feel that people should be allowed to sit out.
Well, actually, it says that in the bylaws. The bylaws does not say that when you've had your term, that's it for life. It says that you have to sit out at least one full period before being able to sit. I don't have the words right here in front of me, but
right.
There is a provision in the revised bylaws, which was sent out shortly.
Okay,
shortly
I knew
before.
I knew
and
it
was pointed out to me by other people in our constituency too.
Okay. If they thought that was appropriate, is that for the board, for the council, or is that across the board? Is it GNSO council? Is it?
This specifically referred to the council.
Right.
To GNSO council reform, and okay. It is in the revised bylaws, which were published. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Well.
I'm not sure I'm understanding the concern here that this would address. I guess it's so the same people don't remain in office. But I think the way it's phrased, it's so even if someone wasn't in office for 10 or 15 years, 10 or 15 years later, they couldn't get involved again. And that just...
This is aimed at the scenario where you do, and there have been, you know, I could name names, and I'm just not going to, but there are people who've held the same office for 10-year periods, you know, as the leaders of constituencies and what have you, and, I think at the end of the day, I don't think there's any, I think the mischief is that already addressed by the bylaws. Part of what we're trying to do is create simplicity instead of individual rules everywhere, you know, detail and this sort of process barrier. So, I mean, I have to say I'm very attracted to Tony's suggestion that we should just follow whatever the bylaw limits are. And I had adopted the term limit and the two terms, I think, from the bylaws. So, but yes, I mean, there are, I mean, I, like I say, I could name names, and not in the IPC, but in other constituencies where people have been
on
the same.
Sure, I'm one of them. I've been around a long time. Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, you know, look, I mean, that doesn't stop people rotating through different offices, right? I mean, but it's when you get someone as the leader of the constituency, for example, who remains in the same. I mean, that it does stifle new talent. It's, you know, I mean, do you not agree?
I think to follow the bylaws makes the most sense. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I would also, you know, to some extent, I think there should be flexibility amongst these groups to... you know, if you look at other political systems, sometimes there's term limits, other times there's not. It depends on the office, and there could be a constituency or a group might want to have someone in a specific office with experience and someone who's been through issues, and they might find that of value. So I think there's like all of these issues, there's. You know, there's the positive and negative of how we're going to, the effects of the rules that we set. And we might improve or we might bring, like you said, maybe, you know, it'll encourage more talent to come up. I could still see how there's some value in having flexibility for the groups in electing their own leadership and not having necessarily a top-down rule imposed on them on that issue, but again, I see value in it, and so I'm totally comfortable with, of course, following what the bylaws say, or if, you know, we come up with some other recommendation in that area.
Yeah, I mean, even aside from, I don't think any of us are in agreement, but I mean, fresh ideas come with fresh personnel, you know, and people tend to become very positional after a long period of time, and I mean, you know, the seasoned players can obviously be of incredible value to their constituencies, even as advisors, right? So, I mean, they don't necessarily need to hold the office. So I think there is a value in some limits, but I agree. I mean, I'm just quite happy to follow the bylaws rather than make special, you know, again, just for simplicity's sake. Okay, so I don't think we've got any other issues on executive committees?
There was another comment which I made. I'm trying to find it here.
Oh, publishing for members, not the general public. That was your. I have to say, that's something we could again put forward and perhaps ask for the Board Governance Committee's discussion. I mean, I have to say, I think that if you look at that Council of Europe report, I mean, if you look at the IETF or IEFT or whatever it is, and if you look at the other organisations, I mean, ICANN is exceptional in its lack of disclosure, and the push is for open disclosure wherever possible. So, I mean.
Well, but let me give you an example. A lot of the things that the executive, what we call them officers in the constituency, discuss normally are more in the line of administrative things. Like, you know, we have to hold an election.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when will we make the call for the election, and how many people do we have to replace? And if we're having an ISP meeting in Seoul, in Korea, how many hours do we need for it? Do we need teleconferencing? We have to respond to things which the staff ask us. And I'm wondering, you know, if this is something which requires to be placed out for the whole world to see. It's just the simple operational things which we coordinate. That's all.
But is it okay? But then if the rule
it's not
is,
policy discussions. It's not deciding.
Right.
You know, we
is
want to blow
sensitive?
Up ICANN tomorrow or something like that. It's very simple stuff.
Is it sensitive though?
Basically, I went back to my constituency on this point, and they said, "Well, for the sake of transparency, we'd be willing to make it public if that's it helps things along."
Victoria, what's the value that you see in making that public?
I just refer you to, I don't know if you had a chance to look at that Council of Europe report, but, you know, every little, I mean, I think probably where people are going with this, like I say, the prevailing rule across these governance approaches is that everything should be made public unless there's a very good reason not to. And the very good reasons not to shouldn't be too discretionary. They should be in your non-disclosure policy or what have you. So, I mean, I think probably the main thing is that you know, first of all, I can say, as I mean, you're both long-term members and insiders in a constituency, and, you know, as someone who recently just joined a constituency and was a new member of one previously, you've got no idea how opaque they are to others. I mean, absolutely opaque. So, I mean, every little bit of publication and disclosure moves everybody towards transparency, and I think that's an important issue to bear in mind. But also, you know, looking from the outside, even, you know, in the IPC, you've got no idea what's going on, who's doing what has gone on, what sort of businesses, you know. I mean, the thing is, there really isn't a proper disclosure, and it's very intimidating for new members. And I'm a professional member and an English speaker, so imagine how it is from those from the developing world, and this is the process and information barrier that we're supposed to be combating. So, I mean, I agree with you. I can hear what you're saying about it's not particularly important, but then it's not particularly sensitive. And, you know, I mean, if there are concerns, then if there are particular categories, what we should do is, you know, in light of the move towards openness and transparency, if there are particular categories of information that executive committees might deal with that people think there really is sort of grounds for sensitivity about, then they should be reserved from disclosure, you know, as a data category.
Victoria, if I might make a comment here, I was just thinking on what we're discussing. I belong to several associations and federations, and I seem to be getting into more, you know, as time goes on, in the developing world, as you call it. And basically, let's take the example of the Argentina Internet Association, where I'm sitting right now. I'm the executive director. We have board meetings every once a month. We have to produce minutes for them. The minutes are logged on to an official ledger, which we have. It's a book. It has to be written out by hand, believe it or not. And those minutes are available for inspection from the government authorities. If at any time they think we are not, we are diverging from our official status as a nonprofit entity, and becoming something else, or we have let's say broken the law in any way, so those minutes are available for public auditing. Or government auditing, or the regulatory authority would probably be the right term, but we don't put them up on the website and show it to the entire world.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like I say, you know, everybody, I think most people agree, and the Board Governance Committee have recommended You know, the primary rule here, I mean, you know, all of these initiatives are attempted to force ICANN to become more transparent and user-friendly and to serve its community better. So, you know, these are not private clubs. They're not even private companies. I mean, but even if they were a private company, the board would have to put, you know, would have to make its minutes available to all members. But it's not even a private company, is it? This is basically a non-profit, right?
Okay. Victoria, I understand your point, and I'm really not. We don't want to go to battle on this issue.
Yeah.
But basically, my question here would be: are we asked to do this by the? And yeah, is it stated anywhere that this is expected of the constituencies? Has the BGC made a specific requirement that you know they're concerned and We really need to improve transparency, because looking at the comments which Denise sent you, you had an exchange with Denise Michel recently, and she says that the working team was asked to consider items such as outreach for participation, constituency guidelines, and basic administrative, operational, and technical services.
I think you need to get back to the board. I don't know what Denise's opinion is, but I don't think it's relevant.
Could I finish, please? Yeah, and I think... Just to finish my sentence, with all the best intention, this document, this very large document, has a huge, let's say, a huge emphasis on transparency. My question is, was this emphasized by the BGC? It probably was. I don't remember.
Well, it certainly was. And like I say, I mean, you know, and I think that's demonstrated by the fact they wanted all the mailing and discussion lists to be open. All the procedures for developing policy, these were their minimums. We're supposed to be coming up with more than the minimums.
Where does it say we have to come up with more of the minimums?
Why don't you reread the long introduction to the... I tried to set out all the background to them.
I will reread it, sure.
Victoria, that's sort of, I think, your interpretation of that document, and I think that document...
Anyway, listen, can I just cut through this? But we agreed not to have this sort of discussion, and I'm not going to sit on this call and have this discussion, because we're talking about the language of the recommendations in order to avoid contention. And you guys, if you want to go into... I was trying to talk to that particular question, but I just don't think... I don't have the time today to have a wider discussion about the rest of the document, and I said, you know, let's have a call and look at the language of the recommendations, talk about precise instances, etc. Now, I apologize if I myself have deviated from that, but I was trying to give... You asked for some background, Claudio, and my understanding and what have you. But, I mean, I don't have the time today to have a wider discussion about, you know, what did the Board Governance Committee say, what did Denise think, etc., etc. You know, and I think the only way we're going to make any progress is by looking at the language of the recommendations and working through them. I'm sorry, I've got a really busy day today, so I have to actually get off this call as soon as I can. But I am able to make the time to go through this particular language.
Sorry, I completely understand. I'm in the same time crunch today that I don't have an infinite amount of time to spend on this call. But I'm not sure, and I'm fine focusing on these specific languages to make progress, but I'm not sure that you could untangle the two issues, because to an extent they're interrelated in that these recommendations, if they go beyond what's in that report, and if they get into every area of constituency stakeholder group operations and how the groups function, and I'm not sure if you can untwine them like that.
Did you read that report? Because I set out in utter detail the reason I went to so much time and trouble, and it's 29 pages, let me, add, is to avoid, to at least set out the argument that I make, okay? So to ask me to now run through that in person, and,
fine.
If everybody has a different opinion of what the Board Governance Committee says, then,
yeah.
Right, I mean, but I already set out the case pretty clearly, and I don't know what to say, I don't even know where to start if you're asking me to personally persuade you and take you through that. I put it all in writing.
My point was just that there could be, I understand that you have your viewpoint on it, and it wasn't to get into that whole debate, but I was just mentioning that there's alternate interpretations.
But it wasn't just my opinion. I mean, I did try and back it up right from source, i.e. the Board Governance, so I did do that. Although it may have parts that in it that are opinion, I mean, I tried to track it all back. So, Do you want to go on to committees or not?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to suggest, and also just to clarify, earlier you said I was a long-time participant and insider. I actually started participating in only a few years ago within the IPC. So I just wanted just to clarify to you that I'm relatively a new member to that.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
So where do you want to take it from now, Victoria? Well, how are we doing with this point we just discussed?
I've noted all your comments and your issues. So that's all I wanted to do at the stage on that particular issue. So I'd just like to...
I thought we decided that as far as the term limits, we are in agreement on that at least.
Yeah, we are in agreement on that, exactly.
Okay, fine. So that's settled then, yeah.
And I've noted your comments on the executive committees, and I think I suggested that, you know, it could be footnoted and perhaps, you know, if we're going to the Board Governance Committee on the issue of open public lists, it's the sort of thing we could clarify with them as well.
Okay, sure, fine with me. Do you want to continue then? Lead us in as you wanted this call to go, please.
Okay, committees. Essentially the main recommendation on committees is the working group model be adopted in committee where possible, as finally agreed and recommended by the Policy Process Steering Committee. So is that contentious?
Yeah, Victoria, I don't agree with this. I think this is one of the areas where I commented it on the report. I don't agree because for several reasons. I think the working group model is a JNSO cross-group model.
Right.
And it's not necessarily the best or applicable model to then carry over within the constituencies, that the constituencies might have their own models for producing their work and that they shouldn't necessarily have to follow. They might choose to adopt that, but we shouldn't force all the...
Okay. Okay, fine. Would you be happy if it was sort of a suggestion or an on-the-table default, you know, for people to refer to or not?
But what you're saying here, all constituencies shall publish a list of all active and...
No, necessarily on committees.
That is very definite.
We're on committees. No, Tony, we're
on committees. Yeah, I'm on committees on letter
yep.
E.
We're still on A, Tony.
A.
We're still on A. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought we were looking at the whole thing.
Yeah.
The ICANN working group operating model. Okay.
Okay, so would you be comfortable if it was an option, you know, a recommended option but not mandatory, Claudio? I mean, it's basically so that people could, you know, I mean, I think, again, this is directed at information barriers. So because, you know, if you look on most of the constituency websites, they don't have any rules for how they run their committees. And so outsiders and new members and people from the developing world won't have any idea how they operate or be able to look up the rules anywhere. And this sort of thing can be important. So, you know, it's not necessarily only suggestion. You know, perhaps the language could be something like maybe it could offer a menu of options, i.e. the constituencies, this is just the kind of thinking that was informing the draft, okay? Either constituencies could come up with their own standard committee procedure, i.e. and make it available to people, or committees at their option could choose the working group model, or, you know, follow Robert's rules. I mean, the point is that for new people and outsiders and non-English speakers, et cetera, they can go somewhere and find out how that committee should operate and understand how to operate within it.
Well, you could say it could serve as a guideline rather than be adopted.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fine with me. And like your other recommendation sounds okay to me too. That there's, you know, there should be some general description of how the committees work and that should be made available to the members. I think that's okay.
Okay.
I think my overarching concern with all of these is just simply that we provide flexibility to the groups to operate according to their own, you know, what's reflective of their membership. Tony's constituency is totally different than the IPC and across the stakeholder groups. There's just, to me, a lot of diversity, and so we should just try to maintain flexibility, basically, for the groups.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. I mean, at the end of the day, it's to try and just drag up best standard practice and just make people more aware of these things. I think that serves as a guideline and maybe offering some options. I don't have any problem with offering flexibility whatsoever.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about openness and, you know, it's so that people can find out how things work again.
Yeah. I was going to, on 2B, I'm not sure, you know, going back to this flexibility thing, I mean, there might be value in having the leadership of a constituency strategically place members on committees.
I don't see why that should be problematic, because isn't that just someone suggesting to someone that they might like to join a committee? What we don't want is invitation-only committees that are closed to others and work in secret. I mean, that's the mischief that we're intending to address.
Well, I think we have to balance it. I mean,
well, do you want invitation-only committees?
No, I don't want invitation. I think they should be. I think participation should be encouraged in all the committees, and I think that it should not be invitation only. I think that people should feel free to step forward and volunteer and serve. But I just wanted to maintain that the flexibility, that there could be discretion, that the leadership of a committee maybe would say, you've been working on five committees. Maybe we should make room for somebody else to participate in this committee. They haven't participated yet. And they would have some strategic flexibility to determine, oh, there's 10 people on this particular committee. Maybe that's too large. Or just have, just have that ability to sort of manage the process. I think that needs to be balanced. I think what you said, that we want this to be as open as possible. And we want to encourage participation, and it's not to make it that it's somehow a closed group. But that's just sort of what I'm just struggling with there, is just how to balance that. And I agree that it should be made known to the entire constituency membership. I'm just not sure if I'm okay with a hardline rule that says there's no discretion involved.
Let's look at the language then, taking your point, because I don't think anywhere we say that there's no discretion. And so we're not excluding any discretion or the ability for people to... where would you see as the amendment, any amendment required here?
Victoria. I think we can't say it's open to all members, because... all committees, all open to all members. I mean, the executive committee would not be open to all members, because their officer is elected by the constituency. So everybody can't join that committee. You vote for your committee.
It's a really good point. And of course, executive committees were not intended to be there and included in committees in that.
It's called an executive committee. I'm making that point just in case.
Yep.
It's not like nitpicking, but it's true.
It's a good point. Okay, so that's one precise. Open to all members, is that really something that you have a problem with, the word open to all members?
No, because committees, other than the executive, at least in the ISP, they're always open to anybody who wants to join. We usually have difficulty finding volunteers. That's something else. But they are open.
Yeah, no, I'm... it's the same thing in the IPC. I mean, maybe I'll just think about the language a little more. I think it's okay, but when you say open to all members, does that mean that that any member that steps forward is automatically placed on the committee? Is that the same thing?
Maybe the chair. We could. Would it be appropriate to add some language in that the chair of a committee could limit numbers, or make other suggestions or whatever? I mean, if you want to add in a caveat, then there must be an appropriate way to do that. I mean,
that's
not.
What I'll do. I'll think adding in some language.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it is more important to get a good general rule and allow some flexibility, I think. It's you know, it's changing mindsets, I think, probably, or just making it clear to people that, you know, or informing members that they would have a right, they would have an automatic, you know, subject to whatever caveat it might be, you know, they could apply to join any of the committees that are in existence, you know, again, for new members and, you know, people who aren't familiar, I think that would be helpful.
Are we still on B or have we gone to C already?
I think we are moving on to C.
Oh, I thought we were already on that just now. Victoria, just a comment. I mean, we're saying open to all members in B, and this C would seem to be an overkill of the previous one.
I think it was it your comment though? I added.
No,
that
I have no. I didn't make any comments.
Oh,
on this
someone
in
made a comment. I mean, I added
no.
it in particularly.
I mean, I think you're right. What you're saying here, it's useful for the committee to have the best expertise, but it's probably redundant if the previous one stands.
I think someone I added it in only because someone particularly raised it. But it may well be it gets swallowed by Claudio's caveat when he comes up with one.
That was me, Victoria, that
right.
commented on C, and that was kind of the, you know, issue that I was just commenting in about B.
Okay.
That that does tend to restrict eligibility to in those areas where expertise is required, and so that I think that sort of addresses a little bit of my concern insofar as the committee that require expertise. And I think if I can come up with some other language.
Yeah, okay, great. Okay, moving on to D.
I have a comment on that. My only comment would be 72 hours. It seems not too much because it may involve a weekend. And, you know, so people have to work on the weekend to do this. Perhaps 1 week would be more appropriate.
Right. Now, the only thing is just, again, to make things easy, we wanted the periods to be the same for all meetings. You know, just, again, you know, the less variation, just for simplicity's sake.
But you have this in other
yeah, so for
pages
example,
of the document?
It was the same at 1A for executive committees.
But it's not realistic. I'm sorry. It's not meant as a criticism to you, because we may have, you know, these work products and minutes. They may develop during an ICANN meeting and on the last day, and then people are maybe traveling for 2 or 3 days to get back
okay.
from Asia to South America. So how can they do this in 72 hours?
Okay, 1 week.
Just thinking, is there a need to put in a time?
Yes, I think there is a need to put in a time, at least a recommended time. I mean, I'm sure it'll be honoured in the breach and not the observance. And, I mean, there are no sanctions for failing. It's a guideline, you know, at the end of the day, right? But if you don't at least put it in, people won't even try and meet it. You know what I mean? I mean, like I say, what's the sanction? You know, I mean, but...
the constituency wouldn't be operating in accordance with the rules, and I think that when we create the rules, I mean, if you want to say, you know, if it's clear that it's just a suggestion that they're done within 72 hours, but I just think that, like Tony said, if it's written as this is the rule that you must, you know, all groups this must be done within a certain time frame, it just to me seems
then it needs more time. Okay,
other. I just think that the recommendation, just if the recommendation said that, you know, the committee should be posted on the website, and I think that addresses kind of what.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I mean, you know, sometimes things can be particularly fast moving, and you know, withholding. And I mean, I think we need to. I mean, Olga and Michael were happy with the 72 hours, and we did discuss the fact. I don't know what's going on with because I haven't read it. I don't know about the staff support scenario, but. You know, my comment on the call to them was, well, the IPC is full of lawyers, so is the NCUC. I don't think it's very hard to get people. We're only talking about action. Remember, we're only talking about action items, decisions or resolutions. So, you know, they're not like full, like it's not minutes or recordings or a discussion of what happened or that discussion. You know, it's the action points. So I don't know. I think you make a good point, Claudio, about suggestion versus rule.
Yeah, I think it might be more helpful to just put it as a suggestion.
If it wasn't a suggestion, what would you be happier if it was going to be a rule? Do you think a week would be more acceptable?
Yeah, that sounds more reasonable.
Okay, I think also actually just speaking to that, I think someone pointed out to us, is it the IPC? You guys have got a secretariat, is that right, Tony?
I think it's the business constituency that has
it. Oh, it's the business. Yeah, about three of them have secretariats. So, I mean, at the end of the day, what's that?
Sorry, it's Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Yes, the business constituency has secretariat as well as the registry constituency, and the registrars have got somebody who writes up their papers for them.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt.
Thank you. No, that was helpful.
Thanks.
Okay, those two aren't constituencies anymore and don't concern us in this language. But at the end of the day, I hear what you're saying, Tony, but we are dealing with, we're dealing with professional people, and remember we're limiting, that's his work product as well. But, why don't we consider the one-week rule?
Victoria, could I just, you just said something which I'm not sure I agree with, or it's not really clear to me, which is that they're not constituencies. Since participation within those stakeholder groups occurs at the stakeholder group level, wouldn't these same rules apply?
No, the way that I've drafted it, if you look right down the bottom, it says at number 12, there's an important reason for this. It says at number 12, we recommend that, someone said all, or otherwise particular numbers of the recommendations also apply to the contracted parties, house, stakeholder groups. There aren't constituencies in the other two anymore. They've been abolished, haven't they? People talk about the fact that there may be, in place of them, interested parties or voting factions. However, there are none as yet, and none are chartered or otherwise exist. So the way that I had prepared this, just in terms of the layout and the language, because I'm familiar with constituencies and I understand them a little bit even in theory, but nobody is yet familiar with stakeholder groups, and they are operating under transitional charters. So my suggestion was that even once we figure out some rules that might apply to constituencies or their equal partners, which are interested parties, should there ever be any, we would need to think again about what might be appropriate at stakeholder group level.
Well, the reason that I'm confused by that, because we would be creating different standards for participation there, since, as you said, there are no constituencies or interested groups formed within those stakeholder groups, that participation occurs directly at the stakeholder group level, that we would be creating two different sets of standards here. In ICANN's 10-year history, all of these groups have participated on equal footing. They've all been granted there's been, weighted voting, but they've all been formed as the same types of groups under the constituency structure.
But a stakeholder group and a constituency are not the same thing, are they?
The structure of them is not, but I'm talking about the level of participation. So if you're formerly a member of the registry constituency, now you participate within the stakeholder group. There is no constituency.
No, I understand that. But they are suggesting
creating a different standard.
They're going to have interested parties below. But we're yet to see them, and they're not in existence. So the comparator is constituency and interested party, or so we're continually being told, right?
There's no requirement, as you said, for an interest group to be formed, and it's, as you said, it's very possible that they will not be formed. So
that's my own belief,
right?
That there won't be any. They won't be chartered, or they won't, and they won't really fall within the thing. But I mean.
But we can't assume that they will be formed. We have to kind of operate under the assumption that we won't know if they will.
Yeah. Okay.
Participation is going to be at the stakeholder group level.
Okay. Now, if you will be familiar as I am with the commercial Charter. It's an interim transitory charter, isn't it? Now, that thing provides, I mean, it provides currently that the only people who can participate in that stakeholder group are constituencies. Locks everything back down to a constituency, doesn't it?
I believe that's how it has to be structured.
I don't know about that, but that's how it is structured now anyway, which is all we need to worry about, I think, right?
Well, I say it has to be is because the non-commercial stakeholder group wanted to abolish constituencies, and the board instructed them basically that they had to go with a constituency model, and that was sort of the cause of their unhappiness with sort of how their charter, which they had proposed, was not accepted, which proposed eliminating constituencies within their
right.
stakeholder group, and so the board. It's pretty clear that I think on the non-contracted side that the board is requiring that there be constituencies.
Right. Okay. So, things are not apples to apples between contracted and non-contracted. And I didn't make that situation. I can't recommend. I mean, anyway, I'm just saying, if we're going to make recommendations for stakeholder groups, then I'm not sure that we should when they're in a transitional form. Do you think we should?
I think that all of our. I'm not sure if we should define it as. I think that the rules that we write for the constituencies to follow should apply to participation within the. Contracted party stakeholder groups, because otherwise you would have one set of rules applying on one side and a different set of rules applying on the other. I think it should be equal across.
Right. Okay. Well, do you think we could leave that to come back? And once we've got, I mean, just because we're working with I just thought it would make our task easier to work with something we know, right? Like to think about these things in a practical, because, you know, to think about these things in a practical way, you know, and try and iron out, you know, contention and issues and what have you with something that's a known quantity to us, right? And then to come back and go, okay, what should go over, you know, to an unknown quantity that we don't really know how it may evolve in future. And so that's why I'd sort of said at the end, once we figure out what we can live with constituencies, we should come back and think this might be appropriate to go forward to the stakeholder group. I mean, how do you feel about that as an approach? It's not that we won't take things forward, but it's just, you know, I thought it will, for myself anyway, that it would ease the thinking.
I guess I would be okay with that if the default that we were operating under was that everything will go over, and that unless there's a specific reason
okay.
that there's not a constituency, and, you know, that would cause us to say, well, you know, number four won't apply because there's no constituencies there, and that's going to cause a specific problem with number four.
Okay. Well, I don't have a problem with looking at it from that basis, at least to start with. And then if there are, you know, structural or constitutional problems that arise because of the nature of and no one's raised any yet, because of the different nature of a stakeholder group, we can address them working back from the default. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Where are we?
I think we were on 2D or 2E.
Yeah.
Do you think, Victoria, maybe we could set up a call for next week?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, because I'm sorry, but I really have to get on, and I'm sure you guys do too.
Yeah.
It is really, really helpful to have this conversation with the two of you. So, I mean, it would be really good, and I can try and work around your availability. But I would like to do this because it's actually really, really helpful. And also, I think, we're going to. I mean, it looks reasonably as though we might end up with things that we can all live with, and that's quite encouraging. Do you want me to make an amends of what we've already discussed today, and then circulate it, and then could we try and have a call Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week?
Sure.
Oh, I've got to circulate this on Monday, don't I? I'm supposed to come back on Monday to the group. Do you think we could do it Monday?
Depends what time. I'm engaged on Monday until about 1600 UTC.
Okay.
Monday's not a good day for me.
What did they ask you to come back to the group with?
I'm going to try and go back with, after we've had this call, I was going to try and go back with a redraft of that.
So maybe,
if we do that, if we have a call on Tuesday or Wednesday, that wouldn't make such a big difference.
Well,
we would make a lot of headway on this.
Well, could you do this over the email, and then we can see if we still need a call?
Yeah, that's probably the best thing. What do you think, Claudio?
Yeah, no, that's a good idea, too. I'll try to do it over email. I'll just need a few, I think it'll be tough if you're still aiming for Monday. Maybe we could just let Olga know that we need a little bit more time.
Okay, but we still want to be Monday, Tuesday, I think.
You want comments on all this by Monday or Tuesday? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah.
Going to be close. I mean, I could try, and we'll see what happens.
Tell me this. Will it be faster to have another call then? Because, when you have to sit down and do something and it's boring, you have to do it on your own and whatever. I mean, or do you think we were making better progress doing it over the phone?
I think it might be quicker. I think, maybe we should reassess maybe by Monday or Tuesday. I'll try. I think it could be quicker to just, to get written comments in.
You've got mine.
Well, yeah, but I mean, as you're going through it, you're having other comments, Tony, and they're really useful and helpful. And I have to say, I think this call's been quite helpful and productive, and I think we're making better progress than we would necessarily doing it. Why don't we aim to do both? Okay, if you can give me anything you can by, I'm going to say, let's say close of Tuesday, right, in writing, and then let's try and can we try and have a call? Let's schedule a call for first early Wednesday or something like that. Do you think we could do that? Because then we'd be able to iron out.
That'd be okay. Yeah,
okay.
Wednesday morning I'm okay.
Okay, well, look, I'll open a doodle. And then let's just, and we'll do that over the list.
Are you guys going to be in Seoul?
I'm not planning at this stage to go.
No. Tony, you're going to be there?
Yeah, I'll be there. Are you going, Claudio?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Okay, listen, I'm going to run. Thank you both very much. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Victoria.
Okay, thank
All
you,
right.
Victoria.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
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 Thank you, Natalie.